Aaron, did you get that figured out?
Yes.
You're on.
Wait, you saying yes?
I'm ready.
Oh, yeah, she could answer first.
Sweet. We have a nice surprise tonight. Not on the agenda. It's not for you, Chris. Well, kind of indirectly it is. But it's not like a birthday present or anything, because your birthday's coming up this year, isn't it?
This year?
This year, yes.
Yeah.
Already.
It's usually
how was it? Oh, you already turned 39?
Pretty close.
That's what I thought. Excellent. Okay, well, welcome, everyone, to our city council meeting for Tuesday, April 8th. Nice sunny day. We've had a lot of those. We always start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Whose turn is it? Jensen. I don't think you've led us in a while, have you?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I'm sorry, that's Chief Jensen. I know you'd yell at me later, so. Okay. Roll call, please.
Coke.
Here.
Transier.
Here.
Plocher.
Here.
Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick.
Here.
Terulis.
Here.
Cornels.
Here.
We have a quorum.
And Mr. Merrick will be participating via Zoom for work-related reasons, and we do have a quorum here. Thank you very much. Okay. I have no amendments to the agenda other than the item I will be discussing under Mayor's Report. The first Mayor's Report, Aaron, is that okay? Excellent. I better make a note of that so I remember myself. Okay. Do we have any presentations right now? We have one later, don't we?
Yes.
Okay, but not now. Any public hearings tonight?
Nope.
No public hearings? We had one or two of those last time. Citizen comments on anything on the agenda? If you would like to comment on something on the agenda, please step forward and state your name.
My name is Angela Charlton, and I live in the Greenbrier subdivision. The rezoning of the Perfection Park, I urge you all to vote no on this. Just the sheer density of that project in that area alone is going to be, it doesn't belong in that area. The traffic, the extra traffic that we're going to get on the south side. Right now, getting out from Greenbrier or Sunflower, it's dangerous enough to get on 47 right now. So it's just going to add to that burden, let alone the burden on the schools. So I urge you to vote no on that matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else like to speak on the agenda, on any item on the agenda?
Hi, good evening. My name is Abby Colleen. I spoke last month, so I'm pretty much the same thing, so I'll keep it brief. Basically, my main concern about the Perfection development is that there is the potential for three developments to go in at one time. The Perfection, the one being proposed off Fox, and then the development off Eamon that's already in progress. As the school district has already stated, they cannot necessarily accommodate influx at this time. As you probably know, there's already three outbuildings being built for this upcoming school year north of the river. All three of these developments, from what I've researched, will feed into Circle Center and therefore YIS. Additionally, at the last meeting, some of you brought up the fact that young people will probably be moving into this development and they will not be bringing children at this time. However, my concerns with that is they're 2 to 3 bedroom apartments, so those are kind of built for families. And additionally, they cost upwards of $350,000. Like, what young people graduating these days are able to afford that? Additionally, in addition to the school being overwhelmed, the park district is also overwhelmed. I can't tell you how many times I tried to register my son, who's 5, or for a park district sport or a summer camp, and it's full. I see the same concerns from other moms and some of the local Facebook groups. One question that I have regarding the development is, has there been a traffic study done? Last meeting I learned it's 105 units with 354 parking spots. That's a lot of cars, that's a lot of people, that's a lot of influx to the south side of our town. Additionally, we are really excited about Costco coming to town in my house. However, that's gonna bring an increase in traffic too. 47 is such a thoroughfare for our town. We're gonna have people coming from Morris, Shanahan, Sherwood. They're gonna be coming to our Costco, and again, that's gonna be an influx of traffic on 47 in addition to the traffic from the subdivision. Additionally, have we collaborated with the fire department, the police department? Are we going to have to additionally staff for this? So I just have some concerns, especially it's not just the one subdivision being proposed, but the fact that there could potentially be three coming at this time. So I thank you for tabling it last time. I really do appreciate, I felt heard, I'm sure others did as well. And I just hope that you continue to hear us. So I appreciate your time this evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Others? Anyone else? Dr. Matt? And I dressed you as doctor this time, I apologize earlier. Chief Jensen, Dr. Matt.
Thank you. As long as I'm in the same category as Chief, we're gonna be fine. Good evening. My name is Matt Zedeker, Superintendent of the Yorkville School District. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. It's weird being on this side of the desk and listening to public comment. My comments tonight are actually a little more general in terms of my appreciation, number one, for the mayor and his team. You know, we have begun collaborating quite a bit on the exciting changes that are coming to Yorkville, which includes, you know, subdivisions, but also commerce and other industry. And I think the partnership between the district and city, I think, was not as transparent and was lacking a little bit over the last several years. And I give a lot of credit to the mayor and his team in terms of bringing our crew along. Our team participates now in the monthly planning meetings to have some information. As we've heard tonight, you know, anytime there's a subdivision or things that come to the city, it certainly impacts our district. We know that change is coming, we know that growth is coming, and you know, we're here and gonna be at the table to work along with the city to make sure that we're both doing it together in, I think, what is a responsible manner. I think as the city grows, we're only gonna be as good as the city and how we accommodate that growth, and I think vice versa, that the district can do what we need to do to educate our kids and provide the necessary things for our families. And so I think this partnership that we have is gonna be essential moving forward with all the exciting things that we have coming on. I know Craig Wesley has been here to discuss specific issues. I'm not gonna address specific issues tonight. But I do know that we will be coming back next month. We've done some research on transition fees with the bringing a recommendation forward to the City Council to increase those fees that have not been raised in over 25 years to get more in line with some of our partnering municipalities and districts, but also then from a financial standpoint to be able to provide resources to students as we have new families, new construction entering the city. And then the last thing I would, you know, say, and certainly if the mayor allows, I'll entertain any questions, but, you know, I will be coming back this summer as well. If you all haven't heard, we're a little short on space and facilities in the district, so we are engaging in a facility master plan. This summer we'll be at the point where we have received some guidelines from our Board of Education on some potential options for those facilities, and I'd love to have the opportunity to be able to present that to the council so that the council can stay informed of all the potential plans and the work that we're going to have to do with the community. So again, just really thank you for the time, and I just want to let everybody know the district's here as a partner, and we'd love to have a seat at the table to continue the work together.
Thank you. Any questions for the doctor? Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Any others? Please.
Robert Loftus. I graduated in the 67, in the class of 67, so I've been here around a while. I'd like to make a comment on this for the last on the agenda, Drew Daniels. We did business, And thanks to Lynn Dubacek, Kellogg, we were very happy with what the outcome was. Drew is a good guy. He's a man of his word. His project will be a huge asset to the community. We would like to be on the record that we are requesting an 8-foot berm on the north side and the east side of our property. I think it's been covered at the Planning Commission meeting, but I wanted to make sure that it was on record that we're requesting an 8-foot berm with arboretas on the top in the 100-foot buffer. There is a field tile that is about 50 feet north of the bridge. It probably won't be in the building area, but I want to make comment of the field tile that does run across their property. If there's any questions, that's all I have.
You know, I appreciate you coming, and I will say you're one of the few people, I think actually Jensen too, one of the few people who's been around here longer than I have, so.
You bet.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Chief Jensen again. So when did you move here? Were you born here, Chief? You were. So in your, I think you're about 3 or 4 days older than I am. Old man. Sounds like I'm at home. Okay, anyone else? Nope. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, we are now to the all wonderful consent agenda. Looking for a motion to approve the bills totaling $1,807,421.58.
So moved.
Second.
Zolling, Cornelius. Roll call.
Koch.
Aye.
Clocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Zolling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next, we have the mayor's report. And before I have Aaron, just tell me when you're ready. And I have one thing before. Tell me when you're ready. Okay. So, Tim, just tell us about your Easter egg hunt this past Saturday. Talk about collaboration with the schools. It's awesome.
Yeah, we held our annual Easter egg hunt over at Autumn Creek School this past Saturday. There was 200 families, so about 500 people came through and enjoyed getting Easter eggs and visiting the bunny.
That's awesome. Did you ever figure out how the rabbit lays eggs? I'm still trying to figure that out.
Not figured that out yet.
Okay. Well, thank you. Okay, so next, I saw this recently, and I just didn't know. Tell me when you're ready. I don't see it. Well, maybe we have to wait till the next meeting. I didn't realize we approved this in our UDO, and I wanted, look at this fence. Did we approve that in the UDO, Christy?
No, she said.
Chris, Dan?
That's the new chain link.
Yes, I think it is. That was taken, and I'm going to let you guess what part of town that was in. Where did that go?
No, there it
is. Look at that. Can you believe that's in our town? It's not really. So we were on a road trip, my family and I. We were down this part of the road trip. We were southern Missouri, just, or was that northern Arkansas? I mean, we were real close to the Arkansas-Missouri border, within a mile or two. And we drove by that, and I said to my wife, I'm turning around. We need to get pictures of that. So I wasn't sure if we allowed that. We don't allow that. Okay. I thought it was pretty slick, though, myself. So what is really funny is after we drove by here, a few months later, we stopped at this Airbnb. My son likes seeing the stars and all that, and he wanted to go where there's dark skies. So we're about 9 miles from the nearest town near Alton, Missouri, way down south. And that town's about 800 people, not even 800 people. And we stopped at this little Mexican restaurant. Every town's got a great Mexican restaurant. And, you know, made great food, except for they pulled the old square tiles off the floor, and the black mastic was on the floor, so your chairs were sticking. And in order to get up, you had to, like, really pull the chair up. But we ate breakfast there or dinner there, and then we drove around. And if you read about the tornadoes that they had in the middle of March, they just had some, the same area had some just about 4 or 5 days ago. But middle of March, we drove by like 3 or 4 areas, and they were just devastated. Those people just got annihilated. And some of those houses, you can see, are pretty rough as they are. But I felt bad for the people. But we decided we wanted to get some groceries. We're pulling to the grocery store. My kids are getting out. Now, again, this town's like 800 people. My kids are getting out. And the car next to us says, is that a Purcell? Swear to God, I get out. And it's a guy who moved down there 10 years ago, Nathan Ming. His dad just ran for road commissioner. He moved down there 10 years ago, and he said, we saw the Illinois plate. We saw it was from Aurora, and we looked over, and we recognized it. So isn't that just crazy, Eric? Isn't that crazy? You'd appreciate that. Yeah, so anyway, there's my story about that fence there. So interesting, though, he moved down there because now he was a lifer here until he moved because he got sick of all the new people coming into town. So it's just kind of ironic because some of the same things we're dealing with today. So it was kind of interesting. We just at a grocery store, and we talked for 10 or 20 minutes. So it was kind of nice. And he was actually just up here recently for his grandfather's, Dale Perkins, if any of you knew him. Dale Perkins passed recently, and he was up here. That was his grandfather. So I didn't tell him I was going to talk about him at the meeting tonight, but if you guys want a number, I do. I could tell him, hey, I've been talking about you tonight. So there's my mayor's report, unofficial. Now we're going to the official business. Mayor's report number one. I'm looking for a motion and a second to approve an ordinance for the 25-26 fiscal year budget for the United City of Yorkville.
So moved.
Transier?
Second.
Second by Cornelius. Rusty's on the ball tonight. Any discussion? There's been a few changes. We adjusted for the insurance, correct, Rob?
Correct.
And then you said the downtown TIFs, actually the revenue went way up?
Yeah, it's about a 77% year-over-year change. We're expecting around $400,000. This year compared to about $230,000 last year.
Is that combined?
Or it's just the downtown TIF?
Just aren't there two downtown TIFs?
Yeah, there are two downtown TIFs, correct.
Yeah, so, but that'll help. I know there was some concern how we're going to, you know, fund some of the projects we want to do down there. That's definitely going to help us there. So, and weren't there a couple other minor changes since the last meeting?
There was a budget adjustment to the water replacement program. We're expanding it a bit as we attempt to get an IEPA loan again next year. And just an adjustment to the building and grounds fund for the public works and parks facility. Just adjusting those numbers downward based on the bids we received recently.
Questions or comments? Rob, thank you very much. Very nice. We'll see you again tomorrow, probably. Roll call, please.
Floetcher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Solling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And for those of you who weren't here when we talked about this, some of you may have been because we've been talking about this a little bit. What do we put in there? $50,000 for new trees for, was it $50,000?
Yes.
Yeah, plant like 100. Was it 100 new trees?
We are in talks of planting trees now,
yeah. Yeah, so that's exciting. We're going to start replacing some of these trees that got knocked over or bugs have taken out. Out of commission, whatever. So, okay, thank you. Next, we have an ordinance. I'm looking for a motion and a second to approve an ordinance authorizing the acquisition of certain easements for the construction of sanitary sewers for Yorkville Meadows.
So moved.
Second.
Second by, was that Plocher?
Yes.
Okay. Bart, you want to explain this at all?
Yeah, this is an easement we need for the Cyrus One water main sanitary sewer extensions. The easement is given to the city for free.
Any qualms with that? Okay. Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Solling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Thank you. Next, I'm looking for a motion and a second to approve an ordinance for the acquisition of certain properties for the construction of improvements to the city's water system.
So moved.
Terulis?
Second.
Koch? There's three parcels. We had an appraisal done, correct?
We did.
Two of them were at appraised price?
Yes.
One's more, but it's probably as critical as any of the pieces. Questions, comments? Done. Roll call.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Solling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Next, I'm looking for a motion and a second to approve a resolution authorizing a contract to replace a water main on East Van Emmon Street in an amount not to exceed $88,950, and that's with deconstruction, correct?
Yes.
So moved.
Transier?
Second.
Koch? And though this was not the lowest bidder, the lowest bidder was about $8,000 less. These are the folks that are going to be doing the whole project, correct?
Correct.
And just for scheduling purposes, it just made more sense to pay a little bit more money and just get it done smooth. Questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Yay.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Present.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Motion carries. It needed to be supermajority.
Oh, sorry. Needed to be supermajority. Yeah. We have it.
Yep.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Now, thank you for pointing that out.
Next is a supermajority of the alternate, too. So.
The next for the Public Works?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to pass over the Public Works because I'm done talking for a few minutes. Okay. But this one is supermajority, I'm told.
Yep.
Of the alderman. One item.
Of the alderman.
Okay. Motion to approve an ordinance vacating a portion of Worsley Street in the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Cornelius. Any discussion? We had a public hearing on this one, didn't we?
We did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
No public comment. Roll call, please.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Koch?
Nope, that's it.
EDC? Anything?
No report.
I see nothing, no. Okay. Public safety?
No report.
Admin?
No report.
Park board?
No report.
I guess it is back to me. Planning and Zoning Commission. Okay. Oh, this is a first reading. I heard you all loudly and clearly on this. We want to have some discussion before we bring this one forward. So we have PZC 2422 and EDC 2505 Beecher Solar Farm. We don't really need to read the ordinances now, do we, since we're not voting on them?
Correct.
They have a presentation.
But there is a presentation. So, Dan, are you double billing again tonight?
No, just one.
Okay. Dan, you're going to smack me one of these days.
But you aren't for the advertisement for our firm. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
For the record, Dan Kramer, the attorney representing the petitioner here, Beecher Roll Solar. We've got Hannah, who will do the presentation, and Mike Keith, who you've heard before, and the two other ones we've done for this client. And also in the audience, on my left in the red shirt and the gray coat, Gary and Betty Bennett, who are the owners of the property, who are leasing the previous approved one and this one to NextDam. One bit of confusion, even though the name on this is Beecher Road Solar, it is not on Beecher Road. It's on Cornelius Road. And I've encouraged what aldermen I've talked to take a drive by the property, because the area the first one was approved, there is a driveway in, and it will use the same driveway. But if you're looking to the north, it's open area, and of course there will be fencing and landscaping for it. This particular parcel is right behind the Bennett's home, so they would be the ones most affected by it. And when you drive by, number one, you have to go way slower than the speed limit because there's an absolute treacherous curve there. The existing farm buildings are going to stay, and the Bennett's are still going to stay there. They're still going to farm a certain amount of land that sells that's not being used for the solar. And again, when you drive by, if you got out of the car and looked, you won't be able to see the solar panels by the barn and outbuildings and the house and the heavy landscaping that's there already. But there still is going to be fencing and a landscape plan from the applicant. Originally, trying to preserve as much farmland as they could, they looked like they were going to need a substantial variance off of Cornelius Road for front setback. They were originally asking to be as close as 471 feet. Again, this isn't listed as a collector yet in your city ordinances.
But the staff asked that we comply with what you hope to do down the line. So they redesigned the plan and can now get over 800, actually over 900 feet back. So they are asking for a slight variance. The Bennett's, I think, and I don't know if you've had a chance to look, Gary is undergoing some serious health treatment and couldn't attend the plan commission. But they did send a very heartfelt meeting or letter memo to the plan commission that should be in your packet, and I would encourage you to read it before next meeting. And I'll be quiet and let the experts talk.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Mayor.
Good to see you again.
My agent's good to be seen.
Yes, it is. Not viewed, right?
Well, thanks for the great introduction, Dan. My name is Hannah Udicious, and I'm here on behalf of Nexamp Solar. And so I guess just maybe we'll start on the first slide. So as Dan kind of introduced, we're here for our special use permit with the variance. This is a 4.99 megawatt community solar project. So thank you to Mayor Purcell, City Administrator Olson, and the City Council for having us here today. We've been here a couple times before, and every time we're really grateful to be here, and the energy is really good. So Nexamp's been in front of your group a couple times, so I'll just briefly touch on our company, our presence in Illinois, and share project details. So to get started, Nexamp was founded in 2007 by two Army veterans. Upon returning from the United States, they were compelled to start a company with the vision of providing renewable energy solutions to create an energy independent United States. And we're really proud to still be fulfilling that mission today as the largest vertically integrated developer, owner, and operator of community solar farms in the United States. We were voted number one community solar company in 2023, as well as in 2024 by our industry magazine, which is called Solar Power World Magazine. And then presently we have over 475 employees nationwide. And congruent with our commitment to energy independence, Nexamp completed the largest domestic module purchase in community solar history with a company called Helene in Minnesota, where we purchased 1.5 gigawatts of modules. I know that's really top of mind right now, but we are domesticating our supply chain. So this is a vision of an existing operating Nexamp community solar project. This project's called French Road Solar. And in this image, I really wanted to highlight what an operational project looks like and the type of pollinators we have. So you can see that we have a specific blend that's between the panels and a different blend that's on the outside of the panels, as well as an evergreen tree buffer. This project's about half the size, approximately, of what Beecher Road Solar will be in terms of acreage. And we're proposing a little bit more landscape buffering, so if you can envision two evergreen tree buffers with shrubs on the outside instead of just one. Here's another community solar project, operational project called Fargo Road Solar. It's located west of here in Tampico, Whiteside County. Again, probably about half the size of what we're proposing. And again, just really wanted to highlight how clean and well-maintained the visual is on these projects. So this is zooming into Beecher Road Solar, the project location. So now that we're a bit more acquainted with our company and what we're doing in Illinois, we can zoom in here. The solar farm is proposed on existing farmland parcels located immediately. So the solar farm is proposed on existing farmland parcels located immediately north of Corneal's Road, approximately 1,500 feet east of Beecher Road, and approximately 4,000 feet west of Illinois Route 47 on parcels 02-08-300-088 and 02-08-300-012. So this goes into detail on a bit more about the project. So it's located on 10791 Corneals Road. It's zoned A1 SU for Agriculture Special Use District. Parcels 02-08-300-008 and 0208-300-012. Our owners are Gary and Betty Bennett. The parcel size is approximately 69.64 acres, while the project size is approximately 20.3 acres within the fence line. The project capacity is 4.99 megawatts AC, and the project life is between 30 to 40 years. So Beecher Road Solar LLC is the second project that NextAmp is proposing on the land of longtime residents Gary and Betty Bennett. The impetus of Beecher Road Solar was ignited by the relationship that NextAmp had built with the landowners. We knew that we found out that there was electrical capacity on the lines in order to have another project, and the Bennetts were interested in a second project with NextAmp as a way to set themselves up financially for their retirement. Also, since the property is located in a flood zone, there was not a lot of additional opportunity for them to develop the rest of the land. So Cornhills Road Solar LLC was approved May 2024 for a special use permit by the United City of Yorkville, as well as for annexation and rezoning to the Agriculture Special Use District. For these two parcels, and then the parcel to the north, which is 02-08-300-011. Our civil engineer will touch a little bit more on the design later in the presentation, but it is worth noting for clarity's sake that Cornhills Road Solar LLC and Beecher Road Solar LLC are two separate standalone projects. They will not be connected. The project will be fenced in separately. They will have their own utility poles. They will share the existing access drive. All right, so this situates the project with the surrounding uses in order to kind of provide context on why community solar is a compatible use on the property. So directly to the north, we have Cornhills Road Solar LLC, the existing community solar project. Also not labeled, but a bit catty-corner to that. In the northeast corner is Yorkville Renewables, which the United City of Yorkville also approved. Also to the north, we have the decommissioned landfill parcel. So community solar is a really good compatible use with a decommissioned landfill site. To the south, we have the Bennett's homestead, as well as a family property just to the west of that. So the Bennett's will be getting the majority of the viewshed of the project, as well as it will be buffered by their home, their barn, and their existing landscaping. And then just to orient on existing uses that are around Beecher Road Solar. So we have existing utilities, ComEd substation. We have the Bright Farms LLC project. And then we have the permitted 223-acre data center project, as well as the rezoning for the data center. So a lot of other industrial uses that community solar would be compatible with. Moving forward, community solar is one of the, moving on to the next point. Solar is one of the few possible developments that's feasible on this property because it's in the IDNR floodway. So residential and commercial are sort of unlikely on this property due to the floodway. So this is a way for Yorkville to capture tax revenue and for the landowners to make revenue on the land that they wouldn't really be otherwise be able to do other than farming. Again, the view shed is limited. We'll go into details on the landscaping buffer, but really the majority of the view is coming from the Bennett's homestead themselves. And then
I stop you for a moment?
Yeah.
And you may have addressed this when I stepped out, I apologize. Bart maybe can answer this. To the west, flanking both sides of Beecher Road, isn't that where one of the proposed data centers is looking at going or not?
For a portion of it, yes.
A portion of it, okay.
Yeah, I don't. The property immediately west, is that part of the project steel?
Yes, that
okay.
is steel.
Okay, thank you. And if you address that, I apologize. Thank
I
you.
I did not, thank you. And then just lastly, wanted to point out that right now Cornhills Road is not really a major collector, but we have redesigned the project in such a way that it's majorly set back. We added nice landscaping, so it's going to be a really beautiful drive down Cornhills Road for residents and those just driving past. So on the next slide, we get into the community benefits. So our project will bring significant community benefits to Yorkville that would not otherwise be realized on the property. Again, it's unlocking tax revenue in a floodway. It's unlocking tax revenue next to a decommissioned landfill parcel. It's unlocking tax revenue without the demand for public services. It's stabilizing the grid, which is especially important given there's a lot of power users in Yorkville. It's a temporary use of farmland, and it provides utility savings for over 650 residential subscribers. And so the table below just shows the difference between year one in taxes collected as agriculture and then as when solar is applied. So you can see in the aggregate that the current taxes on the 20.88 acres that the solar would be located on is approximately $6,227. When the solar tax is applied, it jumps up about four times to $29,470. And the same is true, you know, when you think about the school district, you know, that's an increase in $13,969, and then as well with the fire department at $1,557 after solar's applied, that difference. And so the next slide shows the due diligence that we've already completed on the project. So we've completed site selection and executed the lease with a landowner. We've completed a survey, completed pre-application discussions with the city. We've completed utility studies. We've completed SHPO consultation. We've completed endangered species review. We've completed FAA consultation. We've completed NRI. We've completed the AMA, which we get from the Department of Agriculture. We've also done a glare study, which I didn't include in this slide, but I think that's worth noting. And then the IDNR floodway permits in progress, as well as our drain tidal survey. And so I'm gonna hand it off now to our civil engineer of record, Mike Keith.
Thank you.
Good evening. By Hannah, I'm Michael Keith. I'm a civil engineer of record. I work for Atwell LLC. Up on the screen now, you'll see the site layout. The setbacks that we're required to do is 50 feet off the property lines and then 1,000 feet off of Cornelius Road. As mentioned, we've revised the layout. Previously, when we came to the Economic Development Committee, we were around 480 feet off of Cornelius Road. We heard the grumblings and that the city did not like that, so we went back to the drawing board, redid the layout. Now we're about 917 feet off of Cornelius Road at the closest point. So you kind of see we did have a lot more panels in the front area. We kind of picked those up, moved them to the back northeast corner. So we're hitting further setbacks from Cornelius Road. Another change we made is that we made recently was from the ZBA meeting, the adjacent property owner to kind of east of the Bennett's property, but southeast from our site. She was at the meeting. She had some concerns about the glare from the panels distributing or disrupting her horse farm and the track. So we worked with her. I'm not sure if she's here tonight, but I know Hannah spoke with her directly. We've raised the fence in that area. You can kind of see it highlighted in yellow on there. We've raised the fence to 10 feet with the slats in those areas. We worked with Christie's office to make sure that still within the zoning requirements, and we're meeting those requirements in there. So we've raised those up to allow to help with her concerns over the glare. On the layout, you'll see we put the pads in the middle of the site. There's twofold requirements there that we're trying to do. We're trying to get them as far away from the property as we can, and also that's an area out of the floodplain. We try to raise the panels or the equipment pad up at least 2 feet just to make sure that they're not getting groundwater and the drainage goes around those panels. We are utilizing the same access as the Cornelius Solar site, so we'll have one access permit we're applying for. We do have a second set of poles, so we'll have two sets of poles there at the access of the overhead poles. But we are dedicated to providing all wires underground until we get to the point of interconnection in those poles in the right of way. And then with the floodplain, we'll be submitting to IDNR for a floodplain permit, and we plan to have that done while we're reviewing with Brad's office as we're going through the final site plans, and we'll have that permit in hand. And then staying on the topic of the floodplain, during the Economic Development Committee, Alderman Funkhauser had a request to look at the slats in the fence, so we worked with Brad's office and Christie's office and came up with this with a solution where we're going to raise the slats up above the floodplain. In the area where the floodplain is, it will the underlying will still be screened by the buffer. But we also did want to model with the slats in place, so if at some point in the future they get replaced and someone doesn't put them at the right elevation, we discovered that there actually was no detrimental effect upstream or downstream. What it actually did was kind of channelize the water through that area. It increased the velocities, but nothing beyond the thresholds that's allowed by IDNR. So we didn't see a detrimental effect by those, but we are committed to keeping those slats above the floodplain to ensure that we're not having any issues with the floodplain in the future. Next slide, please. So this is our overall landscaping plan. The area will be seeded, as Hannah said, with the pollinator seed mix. The reason AMA requires this, but it also is a good solution to stormwater management. It helps us to help reduce the flow and runoff from the site to the point where we're satisfying the county's stormwater management ordinance, and because it provides a lower runoff coefficient than the existing row crops. Next slide, please. So this area is a blow up of the landscaping buffer that we're proposing. You'll see kind of along as we kind of go to the northeast, you'll see kind of a lesser amount of plantings. That area there is basically what's required by the United City of Yorkville Code. And then you'll see along the southern side of our fence, we beefed that up. We basically did almost four times as much landscaping. We went with a double row and about two times as much as landscaping, but almost four times as much of the evergreen trees, just to kind of beef that up a little bit so that it is a better screening from Cornelius Road. And also, since we don't have the 1,000-foot setback, we wanted to beef that up. The next video, next slide, please. So this slide is a picture from Cornelius Road looking back to where our site is. Next slide, please. This is the next slide. This is a rendering where we added in the landscaping of what we're going to have there. You can kind of see the trees off in the distance. And then it kind of provides a really good adequate buffer for the panels. Next slide, please. This is another picture of existing going through the Bennett's property. Next slide will show the rendering of the trees in the background. So you can kind of see the trees are kind of adding to adding no culture there. Next slide, please. And that's it for our presentation. On the picture now is a good up-close look of the pollinator seed mix after they've been established. You can kind of see a lot of flowers that are there for the bees and the pollinators.
I've been reading how beehives are just getting decimated. There's some areas 90% dropping bees. So.
Yep, and this is one of the things. NRS does these reports and the mixes, and they do a good emphasis on the pollinators and the bees.
Hey, you think egg prices are bad? When you get rid of 90% of the honey, that's going to be brutal. Honey's delicious, too.
And Hannah and I are here for any questions if you guys have anything for us.
Excellent. Okay. Council, questions? Mr. Cole.
I have a couple here. So you mentioned the data center. Does this impact that plants there, or is this kind of a side thing to it? And
they're completely separate parcels and developments, so there's no overlap.
So we're not like carving a niche in a future plan?
No, okay. In my opinion. And as the petitioner and the staff said, a lot of it is within the floodplain, okay. And it's within the Plano School District. So.
Okay. So, is there any risk, or how do we cover for if companies go under on these? I know I have a neighbor that had him on his house, and he had them have him come out, and that company's gone now, so that's more litigation. So,
sure.
Do we have some kind of protection in this agreement?
Yeah, Christy.
Yes, we have a requirement for a decommissioning bond.
That's what we would call then if something happened
so
like that.
So we can call it, and then we can remove and restore the site back to its original state.
Okay.
And Christy.
Sure, how that.
Ken, if I could follow up on that. Christy, if I recall from some of the other discussions on solar, we take the estimated cost now, increase that by, is it 20%?
It's usually 3% a year.
But don't we start the base number? We start out with the estimated cost, and we still increase that,
correct,
the base number.
20%.
And then we add 3% per year.
Correct.
And they have to bond that amount each year, correct? Okay.
For the term of the...
For the term of, yeah.
One more.
Sure. No, that's fine.
This would be for Mr. Kramer. So you gave us a cat bus on the last project. What are we getting on this one? Another one?
Bold.
I talked to my client about that. That was with a different Matt. This one is Matt Kwiatkowski and Hannah. I certainly would talk to him.
Okay.
And so I can bring Mr. Soling, because you were most useful bringing that up about the transportation issue. Otherwise, they always make a contribution to some local charity, but that was really a hands-on objective one. One odd thing came out. It triples the amount of money they're getting in, so it's almost $100,000. Our thoughts were, boy, buy a van specifically for Yorkville. And the state has a real oddity to the program. The agency can only use the money for operating. The state's supposed to pay for the vans. So we're entering into an agreement with this local agency that they'll use the $100,000 for operating here in Yorkville. But where we were thinking we could have a nice picture with the van they bought, it's just the opposite. The state says you must use it for operating. We'll take care of the hardware. I'm not sure that they do, but I hope the state does. So thank you. And I will ask that, Ken.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Ken, other questions? Others? Anyone else?
Just wanted to pull up the Project Steel map just so everybody can see the context of the answer. So Corneille's Road, Beecher Road is generally north-south here, and then the Bennett's home is right here, and then the solar farm is in this area here. So this data center project is directly west of the solar farm.
Other questions?
Will these have any effect with the data center? Will it help them with their power consumption?
Their power consumption will be far in excess of...
So this is going to... No bearing on what they're going to use. Whatever.
Correct.
This is more, it's very named, Community Alderman Soling, that, again, local homes can sign up and it will benefit them, where the data centers are really looking truly at a large solar farm that produces gigantic amounts of juice.
Yeah.
Like you get... No local benefit. Doesn't make your or my bill any cheaper at all, where this goes directly to the community.
That was my question. This is going from the residents, not floor.
Exactly. Well said.
Anything else, Mr. Stolen?
Nope.
Mr. Transier?
You just covered it. Thank you.
Oh, perfect. Any other questions? So this will be on the agenda for next meeting. Hopefully you've had a chance to get your questions answered tonight. The experts are here. Staff is here. I know the last couple, we should have done this, and that was my mistake. I apologize, so that's why we're doing it now.
And clear, but not done next meeting, the meeting after next meeting. Special meeting.
Not tomorrow.
Oh, yes. Yeah, thank you. Man, you are busting me today.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's fair play, right? That's a very good point. Okay. Nothing else? Thank you all.
Thank you so much for indulging our time-wise tonight. Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Okay, now we're on to PZC 2429 and EDC 2506, 1115 LLC. There's two motions listed here. First one, I'm looking for a motion and second to approve an ordinance for plan unit development agreement with 1115 LLC.
So moved.
That was Funkhauser. Is your second?
Second.
Second by Polcher. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Nay.
Koch?
Nay.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Nay.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Present.
Present goes with the prevailing the side.
The majority,
so
yeah.
Yes.
So motion carries. Motion carries.
Okay. So next we have an ordinance approving the rezoning to R4 General Multifamily Residence Zoning District for certain territory known as 1115 South Bridge Street, Yorkville, Illinois, Fox Haven. I'm looking for a motion and a second. Funkhauser?
Second.
Second by Transier. Any discussion? Roll call.
Cornels?
Nay.
Koch?
Nay.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Nay.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Present.
Merrick?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we have PZC 2501 and EDC 2517. An ordinance approving, I'm looking for a motion and a second, to approve an ordinance for the rezoning to M2 General Manufacturing Zoning District of certain territory known as 11159 Faxon Road, Yorkville, Illinois, the Daniels Malinsky Yorkville Family LLP. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second by Trulis. Discussion? No discussion? Roll call?
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. City Council report?
No report.
City Clerk report?
No report.
Community liaison reports. Staff report.
No reports.
Mayor's report continued. Public Works, Parks Department facility update.
No reports.
Lake Michigan Water Project update.
The same.
Additional business. Citizen comments. Executive session.
No report.
No report. Motion to adjourn. Koch. Second by Funkhauser. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. I trust America's voting yesterday.